Well, greetings and welcome all you commanders, eagles, and angels. This is Rainbird and I'm pleased to welcome you to the Hard News on Friday nights on BBS Radio Station 1. We're so grateful you're joining us and we'd like to take a few moments to set the tone for the evening. So let's take a few gentle breaths. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Slowly, gently, and intentionally. As we go into our heart space, let us gather with our guides, our guardians, our spirit teams and healing teams, our ancestors and our totems, whoever you like to journey with the Kimi drum with. And there's a council fire, it's in the center. So let's gather around this sacred fire in that virtual way we know how to do. Come in close, make that perfect circle. As we call in the seven galactic directions in the Mayan tradition. Welcome from the East, the House of Light. May wisdom open in the dawn that is upon us, so that we may see things clearly. And we welcome from the North, the House of Night. May wisdom mature among us, so that we may see everything from within. And we greet from the West, the House of Transformation. May wisdom be transformed into right action so that we might accomplish what must be done. We welcome from the South, the House of Eternal Sun. May right action give us the harvest so that we might enjoy the fruits as a planetary being. And we greet from above, the House of Paradise, where the star people and the ancestors gather. May their blessings reach us now. And we welcome from below, House of the Earth. May the beating of the crystal planet's heart bless us with its harmonies, so that we might end war. And we welcome from the center, source of the galaxy, which is everywhere at once. May everything be recognized as the light of mutual love. Ayum, Hunapku, Ivamaya, Imaho. Ayum, Hunapku, Ivamaya, Imaho. Ayum, Hunapku, Ivamaya, Imaho. All hail the harmony of mind and nature. Inlak Ash Alakin, you are the other me, I am the other you. So let's take a few minutes. Just stay wherever that drum beat took you. And as we take a look at the Mayan record of days for today and for the week ahead. So today is a 12 hour. And this is the yellow crystal sun and the beginning of the Barbos belt. So we're in a very powerful place here. And the crystal tone is universalizing cooperation and dedicate. It's tone 12. And tribe 20, Ahau, the sun. Enlighten, life, and universal fire as key words. So here's the mantra for today, the yellow crystal sun day. I dedicate in order to enlighten, universalizing life. I seal the matrix of universal fire with the crystal tone of cooperation. I am guided by the power of free will, which is Eb, the human. In the analog today, our support is the storm, Kawak. And our challenge teacher today is the dog, Oak. And I forgot to tell you who our spirit guide was, but I'll find it and tell you later. I thought I knew what it was, but it's, nope, I don't. Okay, so let's look at this a little bit closer. This a howl tone, this rise to Christ consciousness. This is a healing aspect, and it is about rising to Christ consciousness, about serving, striving towards wholeness. And it's about transmuting energy, or transmitting energy rather, to others. So we have these gifts of possibility thinking, unconditional love, and the God self. And we're going to let go of any hesitation or any separation as we embrace these energies today. And then moving on to Saturday, it's a 13 Emish. The 13 is the last tone of the wave, the completes the wave. And Emish is the first tribe in the wheel. So it's like the end and the beginning at the same time. So it's the red cosmic Emish, the beginning and the ending. Emish is an artist aspect. It's the red dragon. And so it's the red magnetic dragon. And this is the artist aspect, and his work is about creation and self-dependence. It's about trusting in the universe and having clarity of mind. So we embrace these gifts of the source of creation, the gift of the beginning. If we let go of any... Whoops, I just lost it. Any illusion of separateness or any lack of support. So we embrace these energies for Saturday. Well, it's the wind. So we're
referring to a specific game, puzzle, or a concept.
Oh no.
Where white wind
about that. Gemini kicked in and is going to tell me all about the white wind, but I've got this covered. We don't need Gemini. All right, so it's a visionary aspect, and we're going to have this energy for the next 13 days, and we're right in this evolutionary event anyway. So let's look at the work with the wind is co-creation of heaven on earth. It's about truth in all matters, and it's about remembering our unity with spirit. So that's definitely the order of the day in terms of everything else that's going on with Barbeau's belt, or basket rather. And so we have these gifts that having the voice of spirit with this energy, the magnetic wind. So we've got spirit working through us, and we're letting go of any judgment of others or any secretiveness that we embrace this energy on Saturday. No, I mean on Sunday, excuse me. So anyway, here we are on Sunday. So Sunday's a portal day, and it's that also as well as the white magnetic wind, it is a portal day. So we're getting that extra dimensionality. And the guidance for this wave of the next 13 days, starting on Sunday, is to be open and listen to the mind of spirit. So what a beautiful energy to take us through, I think, maybe all the way, yeah, take us through the day out of time and the beginning of the new year in the Mayan calendar, because that's next weekend when that happens. So, yeah, this is Sunday, and we looked at that closer, and it's a portal day. And then moving on to Monday, it's a two Akbal, the blue lunar night. And this is another artist aspect, and it's asking for our participation, belief in abundance, and learning from our dream time. So we have these gifts of that protection of the night, and we are the mystery of life. So we're letting go of any self-judgment or any withdrawal as we embrace these energies on Monday. And that two-tone is the moon tone, so it's on a moon day, the lunar, the moon. And then moving on to Tuesday is the three con, the yellow electric seed, and we are finishing up that year of the seed. So it's going to be a double seed, and it's electric. And it's also the first quarter. And this is Tuesday, right? I did that. No, we're doing the night. This is, yeah. So we're looking at the night, the blue lunar night, and I moved ahead real quick. So here we go. The work with this is our petition and belief in our abundance and learning from the dream time. I already read that. Okay. So now we're moving on to Tuesday. And the big deal about Tuesday is that it is Rama's birthday. And it's a three con, the yellow electric seed. The moon is moving into the first quarter at 7:06 a.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday. Rama's birthday will be there all day long. And yeah, so yeah, he's got that con energy going double, so, since we're in the year of the con. And it'll be a con year for him. That's what happens on your birthday is you take whatever glyph you are, and that runs the whole year for the year of being that age, whatever that is, 73, I think. And it could be 74. Anyway, this con energy is a healing aspect. It's about opening to life and self-determination and harmony seeking and timing. And it just has possibility all over. It's the potential of creation itself. So we're letting go of any stagnation, any lack of self-confidence or any hesitation or any lack of trust as we embrace these energies for Tuesday. And that's what Rama will get to embrace for the whole year, being that it's his birthday. And we are in the unlucky days. That's right. They started on Monday on the 20th. Starts the unlucky days. These are the 5 days before day out of time, which is on Saturday. And if it's your birthday, it's a lucky day. So, and don't take to heart the unlucky part. That's just the way they describe these 4 days leading up to the day out of time in the Mayan tradition. So moving on to Wednesday, it's a four chikchong, the red self-existing serpent. This is a warrior aspect, and it's about remaining open to change and distinguishing between the body and soul. And it's about transmuting energy. So we have the gifts of that motivation to change, that instinct and body sensing, and we're letting go of any insensitivity or any insecurity, rather, any fears of intimacy or any issues about the body or any blockages by the ego. And then moving on to Thursday, it's a 5 Kimi, the white overtone world bridger. This is another warrior aspect, and it's about forgiveness and moving into a state of grace. Huge, huge task. So let's do that on Thursday. That overtone, that's the top of the pyramid. That's when things move into action and activate. So we have these gifts of being that world bridger. We're bridging between the past and the future, and we're working with transmutation. Let's let go of that which is no more. Let go of the ego or any controlling behavior and the belief that life is a struggle. And then on Friday, when we come back, it's a 6 Manik, the blue rhythmic hand. This is a healing aspect, and it's about healing ourselves and others and creating contentment and peace. So it also is about accepting the divinity of ourselves. So we embrace these gifts of being that healer, humankind, and the ability to open new doors. Let's let go of any distraction, any belief in inadequacy, or any procrastination. We embrace these energies on Friday, and we'll talk about it some more next Friday when we come back. So I'm going to change my hat as we are a listener-supported radio program. It's all of us that make it happen. And so each week we need $184 for VBS Radio, so we need that for next week. And got to have it. So that has to happen. And here's how we do it. Go into your heart space, see what is yours to give, and go to bbsradio.com. And there on the home page, you'll see the schedules for the different programs. This program is on Radio Station 1. You'll find it listed at the 8 o'clock hour on Fridays. This is Central Time. And when you look up that listing, and it's under the Hard News Index, you'll find that in the index that way. And as you see that listing, there's an icon there. Click on it, and it takes you directly to our account. We're using your bank card. Make a donation in any amount. And then we have another program on Saturdays. So please join us on Saturdays at the 3:30 hour on Radio Station 2. And this is, as you look it up in the schedule that you find on that homepage for Radio Station 2, you'll index it under the True History. And it's the True History of Nisara and our galactic origins. That's a long name, with Tara and Rama. So so they need $200 for basics, and they gotta have it. So we gotta really make sure that we pitch in and get those basics covered. They need every bit of that $200 for gas in the car and popcorn for the birds and the deer and cat food for the bobcat and for the kitties at home. So those things need to be taken care of. And it's our contributions that make it happen. So 13 thank yous and honey in the heart. We are grateful for your contributions. Here's how we do it. Go to paypal.com and the send address that you need to use is Koran, Koran 999 49s at hotmail.com. And I'll say it again. Koran, Koran 9999 at hotmail.com. Okay, so you got that. And if you want to send a money order or a check, the mailing address is from D. Berkowitz, R-A-M, D. Berkowitz, B-E-R-K-O-W-I-T-Z, Post Office Box 280, and that's in Santa Cruz, New Mexico, and the zip code there is 87567. I'll say it again, Post Office Box 280, Santa Cruz, New Mexico, 87567. So there you go. Send Rama a birthday card and fill it with blessings. So we're so grateful for all of you. What else do I need to tell you? Oh, the web address is rainbowroundtable.net. And there's also a section there at the very end of the site. You'll see a GoFundMe, and that's for helping with just a products for their health, Tara and Rama. And so we're grateful for those contributions as well. And what else? I think that's everything. So, oh, I see this talking stick, and oh, they're so creative. All kinds of the gem elements are there. So there's the stone people are there with all the records, and there's all kinds of fairies and feathers and magical beasts of dragons and the dolphins and the whales, and all the elementals are there, and all the elementals are carrying baskets. So they're right into the Barbro's baskets and they're looking pretty galactic. They're sparkly all over and looking rather star-like. So greetings, Rama. Tara, here comes this talking stick. Welcome.
Thank you, Rainbird. Thank you, everyone. We are in such amazing times. We are so grateful to be here, to be alive at this time, to watch and experience the fifth dimension in real time. It is not just a fantasy, it is real. The dimensions are shifting faster than I know how to talk about, like I keep saying, each day. And what's happening is we are being lifted up by the quantum field, the particles, and it's quite awesome to behold, because as things get more crystalline and the 12 strands of crystalline DNA within us are fully activated, miracles happen. And this is what I'm seeing every day with the crystals, with the animals. It's everything vibrates, everything resonates within these frequencies that the Schumann resonance, it's just off the charts every day. And it's glorious time to be alive, also quite precarious with what's going on the planet. And we send terabytes of love. I don't know what to say. It's huge what's unfolding here, because all the crystals are alive. I'm gonna play something here from Lord Kryon talking about how to program your crystals and talk to them. I do this every day with the crystals and the deer and the crows and the bobcats and coyotes, and every now and then a fox shows up. Owls, white hawks, golden hawks. These are the animals I'm seeing all the time. And it's about the circle of life that is never ending. And we are part of it. And what I see happening is the quantum field is reaching out, and we should listen. And it's the sound of that great silence. I mean, today, I talked to Natasha again. I mean, this is, what is going on in the world here. And Natasha is with the Nameless Ones up in the Wesak Valley, and all weekend they are doing the Om Mani Padme Hum mantra for all the victims who have gone over the rainbow here, courtesy of ICE. And they are spinning the prayer wheels, and it's just, Om Mani Padme Hum, and Blaze Violet Fire. That's, what I heard today. It's quite amazing. At the same time, Amy talked about 20 more Gazans went over the rainbow just for being Palestinian, and I don't know what to say about that. Just like what's going on over here. Saint Germain knows what to do. I'll put it that way. And I'm gonna pass the talking stick here to Lord Kryon.
Well, I was going to just read this real quick. Brian gives more information on crystals and describes it as unmanifested knowledge. He begins with what science knows and then integrates this with metaphysical and spiritual information. Science has discovered that a crystalline wafer is able to store
360 terabytes of data. Crystals have what you might call benevolence. The atomic structure of crystals is always in motion. It vibrates as it's manipulated a certain way, and it transmits or reveals frequency. You can design a frequency within the crystal. For example, crystals are used in watches to keep highly accurate time. As you are a sensitive, crystals will look alive since automatically they are always in motion. Different crystals have different vibration. A crystalline substance carries frequency, memory, and again is always in motion. Can you program a crystal? A crystal cluster over a period of time can have coherence with its owner, right, Grandma?
Yes.
It's a frequency coherence. Almost every frequency on this planet has overtones or harmonics. The frequency stated to you in numbers is a fundamental. All fundamentals have harmonics. Kryon speaks of royal rife and now and how he could shatter the membrane of certain molecules of disease and see it in his microscope when he did it. It was not done by the fundamental frequency he was sending. It was done by the harmonics and overtones that are up to 10 times of what the fundamental is. This is the template of healing. So crystals are healing tools.
Yes, they are alive.
The crystals that you have also have overtones.
Yes.
As you have a number of crystals together over a certain time, they will have coherence, because they are always vibrating. Those who are sensitive feel the confluence of vibrations. As you get a new crystal, it's greeted by the others. Okay, so let's see what Brian's got to say for us. And this is,
18 minutes, 16 seconds.
here we go.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. By popular demand here in Arkansas, we would like to extend the channeling this day to more information on crystals. I want my partner to go slow here. There is so much unknown, and yet so much that is known and not realized. You might call it unmanifested knowledge about crystals. I would like to present the science first, the science of what you know, what you've discovered. And then I want to integrate it slowly with the metaphysical, the spiritual. That part, what is not known, but what is felt and believed by those who can sense. Two different things that are starting to come together in ways that are unexpected. My partner showed an illustration before this meeting began of a crystal wafer that was sliced, designed, and mounted. That science has been able to put data within it. A crystalline wafer that is able to store 360 terabytes. That's because of the crystalline nature of the geology of the substance. So you're beginning to awaken, you might say, scientifically, to what the crystalline might really be about. But that's simply the use for a computer. It's data. That's simplistic. That's where it often starts. That's where science will discover one thing that leads to another, and then the aha that would come after that. Crystals out of the ground, dear ones, have what you might call benevolence. And I want to explain a little bit about how science uses the crystalline. It has an unusual atomic structure. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to then review it later for the metaphysical. The atomic structure of crystals is always in motion. It vibrates. It's always in motion. Because of that, science quickly realized that they could manipulate it. They could make a crystal the size they wanted, the shape they wanted, because it has a property called piezoelectric. When manipulated a certain way, it will then transmit or reveal frequency. And you can design a frequency within the crystal.
Yeah.
By shaving it accordingly or making it a certain size. There's an inverse relationship between the size of a crystal and the, you would say, amount of frequency. In other words, the smaller the crystal, seemingly, the higher the frequency. And the frequencies that crystals can carry, even with science right now, up to one gigahertz, which is a billion cycles a second. Now, that's normal for science. Now, how is it used? It's used for anything that you need to be stable in frequency. For instance, a watch. Here you have a substance that you can then put in a watch. It doesn't have to be big, very small. Smaller the better for that. You put it into the watch, and it's forever giving you a certain frequency of timing that you can count on. It doesn't matter how hot it gets, how cold it gets, how humid it gets, whether it's in sunlight or dark, it doesn't care. It just goes forever, giving that one frequency that you designed it for timekeeping. Used for synchronization everywhere, in all electronics. Because now you have something from the earth that is a time promise. One frequency is all it ever does, and it does it forever. This is how science has used the crystalline. You could stand back and say, that's magic enough. What else could there be? You're looking at the crystalline and what science does with it, mostly with the pure, clear quartz, or the selenite. You get perhaps into the darker colors, that would be moldavite. It's not an evil crystal, it's grounding. There is no such thing as an evil crystal. I told you that earlier. So here is where it all starts to shift. And where we explain something that perhaps you've not heard before. I made a statement that is science. The atomic structure of a crystal is always moving. It never sits still. It's always in motion. Now, I want you to stop for a think. Just stop and think for a moment. You have crystalline substances. You'll have the actual physical rocks, if you want to call them that, the crystal itself. And if you are a sensitive on this planet, a real sensitive, that crystal is going to look like it's alive. Because atomically, it is always in motion. That's science. So the atoms never rest. If you want to get a piece of granite and take a look at it, it doesn't do that. It doesn't do anything. It just sits there. It's a rock.
Yeah.
But a crystal, to a sensitive, is going to appear to be alive. Now, this is where it starts with those who are metaphysically minded, saying there must be something else there. And there is. And in that, you start to develop the idea that certain kinds of crystals would have a different kind of vibration. Yes, they do. And they might then show themselves as a different kind of aliveness. And they do. Now, there's a difference here between consciousness and being alive and all. I'm telling you what you are perceiving is that a crystalline substance carries frequency, it carries memory, and it's always in motion. No wonder you want it. No wonder you want to put it in your homes or any other place, or in your autos, or any other place, because suddenly you have a representation of the planet that you can feel, that's real and in motion, coming right out of the earth, ready for you. Is it any wonder that there is so much fuss, you might say, in the crystalline? It doesn't stop there. Can you program a crystal? Meaning this, could you have a crystal in your home that perhaps absorbed what you give it? Be careful. Because it's not in 3D. It's not what you think. It truly is not what you think. Let me tell you how three-dimensional metaphysicians get without understanding what a crystal is or not. If you have an argument in the room, quite often metaphysical people will go wash their crystals. Because they believe the crystals have then picked up somehow the negative energy. It doesn't work that way. Let me tell you where that comes from. I have defined something called the crystalline grid now for decades. Now, it's called crystalline because it stores energy. I started this channel by giving the evidence that storage is possible in a crystal. Enormous storage is possible. That's one of the attributes of a crystal. Therefore, the crystalline grid is simply the name of something that stores energy. There are no crystals around the crystalline grid, and they're not necessarily where the grid is. That's just the name that represents what it does. But people will hear that and say, well, that means that all crystals do what the crystalline grid does, which remembers emotion. The crystalline grid is so accurate and so true that a sensitive human being can walk into a field and know that there was something there, perhaps a graveyard, perhaps there was a battle that was completely unmarked and hadn't been marked for hundreds of years. You'll feel it. Because that's what the grid does. That's not what a crystal does. That's what the crystalline grid does. Just a name, meaning storage. No, listen, crystals, you haven't discovered what they do yet. Are they able to absorb? Careful. Now I'm saying careful to my partner. It's more of a consciousness coherence. That atomic structure that has frequency based interfaces with a consciousness that also is frequency based. Your consciousness is structured. Your consciousness is of the earth. You're from the dust of this planet, dear ones, and consciousness is part of a very, very complex and elite process. And it's structured. And it's base 12. And so is the crystalline with six sides. So what I'm saying is that a crystal cluster over a period of time can have coherence with its owner. And that's why you name them. It's not absorption, it's coherence. Frequency coherence. I don't expect you to understand this yet, but you want to apply what you know in the laws that are all around that which you consider and know to be science and the way things work. Do crystals transmit or do they absorb? Neither. There can be a coherence with you. There's more. I'm about to reveal something that some suspect and some know that has not yet been measured completely or properly. Let me tell you something. Almost any time a frequency is generated on this planet, especially the kinds of frequencies that are generated through a series, you might say, of steps that allow this, will not necessarily be the frequency you think it is. I know I'm talking in circles. Almost every frequency you hear or experience or is possibly to create on this planet has what are called overtones or harmonics. What the frequency is, as stated in numbers to you, is called the fundamental. A fundamental always has harmonics on it, depending upon how it's being generated. Royal Rife, if you studied him, was able to shatter the membranes of certain molecules of disease and see it in his microscope when he did it. Yep. Let me give you a hint. It was not done by the fundamental frequency that he was sending. It was done by the harmonics and the overtones that are often double, quadruple, and even up to 10 times what the fundamental is. And when they start to vibrate together at incredible numbers and speed, that's when it's shattered. This is the template of healing. Always has been. So what I'm saying is that the crystals that you have also have overtones. Whatever frequency you think that they might be vibrating and it's high or low, that's not the one they vibrate. The ones the atomic structure is always there inside a crystal is vibrating always, never stops, is one that is not its fundamental. It has harmonics, it has overtones, and when you get a cluster of them together or many crystals together, it's almost like they talk together. Soon, when you have a certain number of crystals together that are the same crystals over a period of time, they will have coherence because they're always vibrating. They never rest. That particular confluence of vibrations, you start to feel it. When you get a new crystal and put it with them, they greet it in a way that only vibrational atomic structure can understand, and they eventually will also be in coherence. That has other names that you see, where things start to vibrate together, and then they'll come together and vibrate together eventually. That's simply physics. That's nature. That's resonance. There's all manner of things to tell you about groups of crystals when taken out of the ground, displayed, and work. Yes, they create energy. Yes, they seem to be alive. And no, they don't pick up negativity. They are benevolent in nature. And they are benevolent in the planet for you. And they come out that way and display that way. Do you think perhaps crystals were meant for human consciousness? This planet of yours, beautifully symbiotic, is for you. Pachamama, the love of the earth, you might say, is part of the love of the human being and the earth together. You are allied in more ways than you ever knew. And here is the earth producing a kind of geology for you, which is six-sided, which tells you something about the structure of your consciousness, and there is coherence between you and the crystal and the crystals and the crystal. And that is what not has not been discovered. Remember harmonics. Crystals do not create just a high frequency. They vibrate at astonishing frequencies. Atomic structure can do that, dear ones. And remember, a crystal is never at rest. I want you to think of that with the ones that are perhaps being taken home from this place, the second largest crystalline deposit on Earth, where you're sitting right now. What a treat to tell you these things today. And so it is.
He was speaking from Hot Springs, Arkansas, right, Rama?
Yes.
That's the truth. It's the second largest deposits of crystals next to Brazil.
Yes.
Brazil's the largest deposits of crystals.
And they are amazingly alive. It's, you got to listen with the force. And we're going to go to the conference call now. And the number is 720-716-7301. And the PIN code is 353-863-POUND.
We have a few more minutes to say a few more things. You know, like if anybody else wants to comment on what we just heard.
No, we got to go now.
Not
thank you.
Greetings, Mother.
In the light of the most radiant one, in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ, we invoke the loving energies of Saint Germain and the white neighbors.
We ask this time for you to come, Mother, and
yes.
What's going on these days?
What is going on is the shift of the ages in real time, and it is this unique, auspicious moment that we can all come together in loving presence. The issues at hand are about this original story that keeps going around. It's this story about I got fur, you got skin.
Yes.
Yes. How we learn to get along with each other in this galactic federation of worlds. Love is the answer, the issues at hand are quite intense. Goes back to this original drama. I'm green, you're blue, and we are all the colors of the rainbow. Very simple. Very basic. It is at this moment things are shifting very quickly now. Time as you know it, speeding up, yet sometimes feels like it's slowing down as this basket of astrological aspects are coming into play. It is about more love coming in. Our wayward children know time is up. No more. That is why the events unfolding are escalating faster than we can take notes.
Mother, the people are becoming more awake than ever right now.
The shift has.
The primaries are showing that they're electing democratic socialists. That's what Bernie Sanders identified himself as when he ran for president.
And we moved that into the concept of divine government, as we can learn to get along with each other on this planet, not find issues with race, creed, color, whatever the case may be. It is about our unique gifts and abilities that add to this story. Diversity, equality, inclusion, all of it, DEI. We are not separate. It's so amazing. And it is a bit sad that this present civilization cannot get or is having issues about being positive.
I always ask Rama when he's crabby, I ask him what his blood type is.
Be positive. This is what's happening. Things are getting more and more magnificent on this planet as the outer planets are doing their dance to bring in this Aquarius energy. Full moon in Aquarius coming up. We just had new moon in Cancer, and the energies are rippling out across the solar system, galaxy. There is no reason whatsoever for the concept of war.
That's the thing. He just decided he was going to start a war. He didn't follow the rules.
It is because
only Congress gets to declare war.
The issues are right in our own backyard. The hegemony and the dirty deals that go to the ceiling. Yet, as we keep saying, in the fifth dimension, you can't take it with you. It's already there. Just gotta create it. The magic is there. All we need do is listen to the wisdom of what's pouring in from the archangels, the masters, these interdimensional beings of light. that are always present at this moment, because things are at a razor's edge in this particular moment.
They are.
All the galactic forces are here, and it's not about nuclear confrontation. It is about opening your heart. That is a real challenge for our wayward children, because, to be honest,
Mother, you don't drop a bomb on a building that has school children in it.
Illogical.
There was actually girls and boys, little girls and little boys. It was revised by Amy that were killed. 170 children. Mother,
Yes.
How many war crimes have we committed?
We cannot even say yet. You heard what Rainbird said, Mr. Keshe, about what's going on over there. This is a shell game, holodeck program. The forces that have lost power are desperate to hang on, yet there is no power without love. The people have the power.
Right.
It comes from the opening of the heart.
Alex Lawson took over for the Tom Hartman show for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
While they went on a so-called vacation.
Where can you go to vacation without...
He went to finish a book.
Oh.
He doesn't mess around. He's doing that. He's working on finishing a book that's really, I don't know, it's about his 30th some book, something.
Working vacation.
Yes.
Yes.
He keeps on writing books about what's going on in the moment.
As our small d democracy is hanging by Superman's hair. A single thread can keep this going at the moment, because
the people have the power.
The people have the power. When our founding fathers put this country together with the Iroquois Nation, Daganoweda, the other masters, teachers that are still here, they never left. We came and went because of the issues at hand, as we learned to take care of these living temples of radiant light. We don't need to die, get sick, or grow old. Immortality, eternity, it's completely viable for these temples of living radiance to last a long time. Babaji is still alive, sitting in the Himalayas. He's not sure how old to say he is.
Thousands
of years old, maybe more than that. And it is about the radiant heart of the wisdom of the Buddha, teaching only love at this moment for all sentient life forms, to work with that energy of the Bodhisattva vow till all sentient beings are enlightened. We do the sadhana, Om Mani Padme Hum. This energy that's pouring in right now, so amazing to experience with this Neptune, Uranus, Pluto, the energies of this Aquarian age. It is an air sign, Aquarius. It is about this electrical, magnetic frequencies pouring in. As we work with the frequencies of these different mantras, sound vibrations, just heard, Kriya, speak of the crystals, sound vibration, frequency. This is how the portals open. How about we open the portal of our hearts and go in on an amazing journey and we meet the one? It only takes a single thought. Love is the answer. And
so, Mother, what can we do as a people to move the energies in spite of this demented gnome acting like he's, well, he holds the power, most powerful seat in the whole world at the moment?
What we do is work with the violet flame, the sapphire blue ray. Archangel Michael holds that sword of Excalibur. It is not just a fireplace ornament. The sword came from the lady in the lake, and it is about the wisdom of what this particular time we're in, as this heaven on earth is happening now. The sapphire blue ray, as we work with that, the emerald green ray, the violet flame. These energies can calm the issues at hand down. Blue energy, it brings a cooling to the fire horse. We're still in the year of the fire horse.
Yeah.
And things are quite touchy. That is why we're saying send more love to these life forms that cannot do it for themselves or not willing to do it. Yet, in of itself, the quantum field, the force, makes things happen because we're on a schedule. And it's a cosmic schedule for the timing. It is precise. That is why things are so chaotic. And at the same time, there are so many folks here that are being called into this realm. We walk with you every step of the way. We're in the Pentagon, the West Wing, the Oval Office, the various areas of this planet. There is no threat. The only threat comes from ourselves, not wanting to look at our stuff, because it is about using the feminine energy in the right way. The time of the club and the iron fist is over. It is time to work with these energies of compassion, love, grace, gratitude. We are grateful to be alive, to be here, to share this wisdom. It's not just airy-fairy stuff. This is real. The things that are happening right now on the planet are happening throughout the solar system. It's not just here. And it is big because we are already won. The holodeck story is over. It's time to turn up the lights and go to bed, so to speak.
Leave it alone and be positive.
Yes. And we're going to be on our way and pass the talking stick here to Greg Braden.
Yes, I'll read this really quickly.
Bruce Lipton.
Yes.
See you in the light of the most radiant one.
The ghost. The ghost. With love. That's the important thing. Namaste. Namaste, Mother. What as science? Well, wait till my till Rama comes back. Just give him that another minute or two here.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Rama. Where have you been?
Top of Taos Mountain.
What's that?
Top of Taos Mountain.
Oh, the top of Taos Mountain up in...
Blue Lake. Blue Lake is a portal to the inner earth. And there are many folks that are coming forth now to help us. It is that time. All the indigenous elders, Kachinas, magical folks are here to see it through. Our Aquarian age is taking place. There are a few hiccups along the way, yet we are well on our way. And I pass the talking stick to Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton.
Okay, let me read this sign. Okay?
Yes.
It says, what as science and spirituality were never meant to be separate?
No.
In this powerful conversation, Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton explore how modern science is beginning to echo ancient spiritual wisdom. We are deeply connected to our bodies, one another, the earth, and the invisible field of energy that shapes our lives. Together, they unpack quantum physics, consciousness, the mind-body connection, and the new discoveries that challenge old stories of separation, competition, and powerlessness. Their message is both urgent and hopeful. As we understand, overstand who we really are, we can reclaim our power and participate in a more cooperative, compassionate future. As we are interested in consciousness, spirituality, quantum science, self-empowerment, or the bridge between ancient wisdom and modern discovery, this conversation offers an inspiring reminder that knowledge can become a path back to connection. Let's begin this right now.
Here we go.
Our ancestors did not separate themselves from the world around them. They didn't separate what we would call science from art, from spirituality, from everyday living. To them, there was no separation, and so the way they lived their lives directly reflected what was happening in the world, and what was happening in the world they incorporated into the way they lived their lives. We have made this separation. We've compartmentalized our lives and our world. We think that we're separate from our own bodies. The medical model essentially has been based on us feeling separate and powerless over our own bodies. We feel we're separate from the world around us and that things that just happen. And this is where I think this bridge brings us back to the topic, science and spirituality. Hello, my name's Greg Braden.
Hi, I'm Bruce Lipton.
We are so busy traveling the world separately from one another to share the good news of what's happening in your life and my life and our world today.
Yeah, there's this great evolutionary movement, and it's a real change in the whole civilization. We're moving into a better future, and it really involves an understanding of the nature of how spirituality interfaces our lives.
I think there couldn't be anything more important right now, because in the past, we've been conditioned to believe, all of us, steeped in the belief that science and spirituality somehow must be separate from one another, mutually exclusive. I remember when I was in the corporations, people told me I had to make a choice. They said, Greg, you either must follow the path of science or the path of spirituality. And by the way, you've got to choose today.
You know, it was very same thing when I was in the medical school doing research. I was writing a paper and I was talking about the nature of mind and consciousness. And I put that into my draft. And my colleagues read that and they were like mortified. You can't put mind and consciousness into this. This is a scientific paper. So I had to, you know, beat around the bush to try to say the same thing, but the words were taboo in the field of science.
Now, well, I think one of the things that's so interesting for both Bruce and I is we're both trained as scientists, very different kinds of science. Bruce more in the life sciences, me more in the earth and geologic sciences. But there is a thinking that comes along with that training. And from that thinking, we both have gone into the world in very different ways to explore for ourselves and to be able to share and offer to other people what we found to be true about this relationship between science and spirituality.
Yeah, I know that you left Cisco Systems and the heat of the Cold War, and I had the opportunity of seeing that I wasn't my research was not conforming to what I was teaching in a medical school. And I was left with this decision. What are you going to do? Continue to, you know, teach the students information that I know is wrong, yeah, or take a stand and say, no, I can't do this. And I walked out because I realized it was very difficult to try to introduce new science into this field. It was very dogmatic.
You know, Bruce, it's one of the things I've known you for almost 20 years now, and we've never had this conversation, so we'll have it intimately together in front of 20 million people. But that's what, one of the things I've always respected about you so tremendously is it takes a lot of courage to walk away from the life that you've created based on what you believe to be true at one point in time and walk unknowingly, you didn't know how it was going to come out, into a very different world. And I think it's a choice that all of us must make in some way at some point in our lives.
Well, it's a real important choice that's coming up for all of us now, because science has revealed that we are now deep into the sixth mass extinction of life on this planet. Five times in the history of the planet, life was thriving, and then something wiped it out, some catastrophe like an asteroid or comet hitting the planet. Destroying.
Climate change.
Climate change, which
yeah,
is
that's right.
Dear to your heart. this kind of catastrophic event wiped out life. And it started all over again from the little bits and pieces. But science has revealed that today we're already into the sixth mass extinction of life. We're losing species of organisms faster than even in the previous five mass extinctions. But the primary emphasis that science has recognized that the destruction of the ecosystem is heavily weighted by human behavior. So it's really saying if we want to survive, we cannot continue what we're doing, because what we're doing is leading us straight to the cliff of extinction. So we're really being forced, in a sense, to change our way and change our behavior. And I know that the work that you've done over all these years has revealed that we've been here before in different forms and perhaps didn't make it then, but there's information that this is not the first time that we've come to this.
Well, these are cycles. You talk about cycles in terms of fractal cycles. In the small levels of nature, I'm looking at cycles, fractal cycles, on huge scales of geologic time and civilization and human learning and human experience. I think one of the ways that really brings this to bear upon our lives today, for me, I've spent a tremendous amount of time in my adult life studying with ancient indigenous traditions throughout the world, and I've had the opportunity, to be with some of the most amazing, beautiful, mystical, magical people in some of the most pristine places remaining in the world today. And as different as they are from one another, the Andes, mountains of Bolivia and Peru, the mountains of Egypt, the Himalayas, all through the American desert southwest in the States, the Aboriginals, they're all very different in their cultures, but there's a through line that brings them all together and makes their wisdom very relevant in our lives today. And that through line is simply this. Our ancestors did not separate themselves from the world around them. They didn't separate what we would call science from art, from spirituality, from everyday living. To them, there was no separation, and so the way they lived their lives directly reflected what was happening in the world, and what was happening in the world they incorporated into the way they lived their lives. We have made this separation. We've compartmentalized our lives and our world. We think that we're separate from our own bodies. The medical model essentially has been based on us feeling separate and powerless over our own bodies. We feel we're separate from the world around us and that things that just happen. And this is where I think this bridge brings us back to the topic, science and spirituality. The spirituality of our ancestors, it wasn't about religion. No. With the rules and the dogma, it was about their relationship to themselves, to one another, to their communities, to the earth, and to whatever they felt that greater power is. And quantum physics is telling us that is precisely the relationship that we have today. So in a very real sense, we're coming full circle.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because indeed it was the quantum physics revolution that hasn't hit the medical world yet or the biological world. 15 years after the whole theory was evolved in about 1925, they actually used that brand new theory of the universe to create the atomic bomb. So the physics got incorporated into that kind of stuff, but it never really came down to what is the relevance of quantum physics to the world that we live in. And here's the significance, and it is this, that our conventional world of biology and medicine is based on a Newtonian physics model of the universe, which is a model that everything is mechanical and physical and that the invisible realm is not really relevant to the expression of the physical realm. So in a science based on Newtonian physics, we focus only on the physical things, the bodies, the organs, the cells, the molecules, and we look at life trying to understand it from the interaction of just physical things hitting each other. And what quantum physics said is, well, wait a minute, that thing that you call physical is not even really physical, because when you look inside the atom, there are electrons, protons, and neutrons, but then when you look inside of those little guys...
It's all space.
It's all space. It's all little nano tornadoes of force. Well, the relevance, it says atoms are made out of energy, and that if atoms make us, then of course we are energy beings as well. Well, that's nice in regard to our physical expression of that energy, but what it also says is that we're connected to the energy all around us, which physicists call the field. And it's interesting because if you ask a physicist, well, what is the field? The physicist will most likely say, oh, the field represents invisible moving forces that influence and shape the physical world. And I go, wow, that's how cool that is because the definition of spirit is invisible moving forces that influence and shape the physical world. So what spiritual people knew, there was a force emanating from the invisible, and it was influential. There was no science behind it. They just observed it, okay? Now we come to quantum physics, and quantum physics takes apart this world and says that energy that's called the matrix, a field in which we live, is indeed shaping our physical world. Sure. So they're both talking about invisible forces and who we are. And it's like you say tomato, I say tomato. You say spiritual, I say field. It's all the same.
It's all the same. It is. And I think this is us coming full circle. It's interesting to me because the very science that has separated us from our world in the past is now giving us the reasons to reintegrate everything that we cherish and that we hold true about ourselves and one another and our families and our communities. I was working at Phillips Petroleum. I was a geologist in Phillips Petroleum back in the 1970s, a long time ago, during the first energy crisis of the 1970s.
Okay, I'm so old. I'm faint.
So one of the things, well, I was doing that by day, and by night I was studying some of our most ancient and cherished spiritual traditions in the texts that have been left behind. And we'd had study groups at work, and people would talk about these. And what I found was there was an entire group of men and women that felt excluded from the conversation because they didn't relate to the language. So if we talk about spirituality in the traditional terms of angels and demons and, you know, sin and right and wrong and good and bad, they felt completely excluded. And it wasn't they weren't interested in the topic. They just didn't relate to that language. So my very first book that I self-published, it was called Awakening to Zero Point. And it was a way for me to bridge those spiritual traditions with the best science of our time. And all of a sudden, everyone was interested because they could relate to the language. So instead of talking about these mysterious forces, we would talk about electrical magnetic forces in the cell. And I could show them that a human cell looks like the schematic blueprint, an electrical schematic blueprint with capacitors and resistors and transistors. And they'd say, my God, we're electrical beings, you know, and magnetic beings.
Exactly.
And they were really genuinely excited. And they began to realize that it was the language that was separating them and that they were actually very spiritual men and women working from a very different perspective of language. And I think this is important because I sense that one of the greatest challenges we all face today, the best minds of our time are telling us we're living a time of extremes, not necessarily bad things or even good things, but big things. And to the degree that we allow ourselves to be separated by what are perceived as our differences, it's very, very difficult for us to work together and cooperate to manage the tremendous changes in our lives that are happening on a global basis and in our everyday and our personal lives every day. And this divide between science and spirituality, I think, has been one of the greatest. And if we can share the deepest truths of our existence in a language that's truthful, honest, factual, meaningful, and kind, I think it's important to honor all of those traditions, including science. Then we begin to break down the walls that have separated us, and then we can really work together to meet the needs that all of us are feeling in our changing world today. What do you think, Bruce? Is that true?
Wow, that sounds great. And I believe it.
That's
absolutely
true.
And it's really great because we're also looking in the field of science and recognizing there are things that don't conform to our conventional belief, like the concept of telepathy, for example, or remote viewing kinds of understandings about how people have visions of other parts of the world where they're sitting right here. And science has proven that out, especially for the Defense Department. And the significance about all these things is that there are other properties to humans that we've avoided because we lived in a material world, and they didn't those actions, like how could I transmit a thought to somebody else? It's like, well, that doesn't fit in your mechanical world, so the model just throws it out. They limit themselves. The researchers limit themselves, say this is our model, and if the data doesn't fit the model, then we exclude the data. And it's sort of like, come on, science says if you got data, there's data. You can't exclude the data.
Sure. Well, this is, and I think this is the crux of what we're all facing today. Science is a relatively new way of us exploring our relationship to the world. It's only about 300 years old. From the time of Isaac Newton, they say, when he formulated the laws of physics, the spiritual traditions go back over 5,000 years in recorded human history. They're not scientific, but they accurately describe our relationship to the world in a way that people can use in their everyday lives. Science, only 300 years old, is trying to recreate those descriptions. And there are tremendous holes and glaring inconsistencies in the scientific story. And the problem is that science, in many respects, is being hijacked by other interests, by corporations, It's being hijacked by politics, and it can only serve us if we keep it honest.
Yeah, so, I just want to add that because while you didn't bring it up, the significance is medicine has been hijacked by the pharmaceutical industry. And when you think about a very simple understanding of corporations, corporations are there to make a profit. So how can a pharmaceutical industry, which is going to try and bring wellness, make a profit if they actually bring wellness? And so the answer is, oh, that doesn't compute. And this is why with the more drugs and the more money and all this other stuff, we're still in exactly the same place, if not worse, every year than the previous year, because our health statistics are declining in the world's most expensive healthcare system. It's like maybe it doesn't fit logic. You put more money into it, we're getting less well. But the pharmaceutical companies are making some money.
It is, and all that's changing. So the good news, and this is what I want to share with anybody watching this day, the good news is that the best science of our time, when it is kept honest, when the science, the deepest truths of the new discoveries are revealed, they're overturning 150 years of scientific thinking that have led us to believe and embrace a story of separation. We've been led to believe that we're separate from our bodies, we're separate from the earth, we're separate from one another. And that the Darwinian ideas of competition and conflict are the way we solve our problems. And if you want to see what that thinking, the consequences of that thinking lead to, it's the world we have today. The new discoveries have overturned all of that and show us that we're deeply connected to our bodies. Thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs impact our cells and our chemistry. We're deeply enmeshed with the earth herself. We are deeply connected to cycles of civilization that we're only beginning to understand. But the big one for me, Bruce, and you and I talk about this all the time, is that the best science of our time is showing us that nature is actually based upon a model of cooperation and what is called mutual aid, cooperation and mutual aid. It doesn't deny that conflict happens. The conflict is in response to special circumstances. And when we see so much conflict, it tells us how far we've strayed from the deepest truths of our relationship to the world. That, to me, is the good news, that the science now gives us the reasons to think differently, and the world gives us the reason to apply that thinking to the problems that we're all being asked to deal with today.
Yeah, and since you brought up Darwin, I've just got to follow through that. It's not Darwin, but Darwin's followers that have created the problems that we really come down to today, because they enhanced separation. They said it's the battle of the survival of the fittest, which says, look, you and I are good friends, but it comes to the end. Watch out, Greg, survival of the fittest. What kind of culture can you create from a science that says, look, if it's good for me and bad for you, that's great. That's the science that has created the culture of this world that allows people to starve to death when we have food available abundantly. Absolutely. To feed everyone. And we say, oh, yeah, that's a Darwinian thing. They're just not, the fittest to survive and all that. And it's like this belief system, as you mentioned, is really just so far off the reality. The concept that science looks at the planet as a battleground, okay? Everything's a battleground going on, a struggle for existence.
A war on climate change is actually
a war on anything.
Absolutely, yeah.
And why is this relevant? Because, look, there was a garden here, and there's an understanding. A garden is not a battleground. A garden is a cooperative community working in harmony. That's what a garden is. So we did have a garden, but we turned it into a battleground because of a belief system, and that is actually takes us back to the fact that we are now facing that sixth mass extinction while each person was out trying to get the best that they could and ignoring everything else. And yet, thank God, all of this is moving with a new science, as you said, to cooperation. And the young millennial generation is really, for me, the most exciting aspect of the evolution for this reason. The people under 40 years of age find themselves in a very precarious position. They find themselves highly educated, highly in debt, and not able to get into the system. And they're outside going, can't get in the system. And it's like, rather than the negative aspect, they don't see it. This is the most important aspect of the evolution of civilization is this. A system can only hold itself in place depending on how many people are holding the structure. And now that we have nearly 50% or more of the people that are of that millennial generation, they have a global vision. They don't have the same vision as the older generation. Sure. And its significance is this. They're not part of the structure. What does it mean? The structure is on the verge of, falling because the support for that structure is disappearing. And the young people out there are the ones that are really going to be the drivers of this evolutionary thing that we're talking about for the future. And this is why, for me, it's really important that they grasp this spiritual understanding, because if you don't want to call it spiritual, okay, grasp this understanding of quantum physics, bring it into their life and see what that does to the way we make a culture.
Sure.
Sure. Well, and this is, and we're seeing this happen right
yes.
now. So the new discoveries, peer-reviewed science, it's not Bruce's opinion or my theory or our hypotheses. This is peer-reviewed science is telling us that nature is fundamentally based in this model of cooperation and mutual aid, and we're seeing this emerge with the young generation.
Yes.
And I think the reason is the generation that had so much hurt after the Second World War is the root of so many of the crises we see in the world today when the lines were drawn that define nations with no regard for history or culture or religion. The people that experienced that hurt is so deep with them. The young people didn't experience it directly. They're one generation removed. They hear about it, but it's not their experience.
Yeah.
So now they look at the world, and they say, we want to play soccer. Israelis, Palestinians, we want to play soccer together. We want to have a rock band together, and we want what those guys have over there. And this is a way that spontaneously this is beginning to emerge. If we can embrace the deepest truths of the new discoveries and allow those traditions into the classrooms, into the textbooks, into the mainstream media, into the documentaries, so that we can honor ourselves with the deepest truths of our existence, I think this is the key to bringing this bridge between science and spirituality, the deepest truths of our relationship, to bear upon the world as we see today. And I want to thank every one of you watching and listening for all that you're doing to do precisely this, to become the best people you can be and to create the better world that we know is already in existence, making room for it in your lives. And my brother Bruce, I want to thank you for sharing
Greg.
The journey and all the places we've been all over the world together. We get to share that journey.
We just have such a wonderful time because what we're bringing is knowledge. You know, knowledge is power, and the issue is that the knowledge that we supposedly hold is not correct at all. So we have a lack of knowledge, and this is why the people are having a problem, because a lack of knowledge is expressed as a lack of power. And now the new knowledge of self and who we are is really the knowledge of self-empowerment. So when you and I are doing this, I know that we do with so much joy, because it's like giving people back their power. What a great job.
Couldn't think of a better reason to get up in the morning.
It's great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
everybody. Well, we're at this point where we're going to see you tomorrow.
Yes.
And I'm really grateful for everyone that comes to join us here.
Thank you. We are so deeply moved.
And as Rainbird taught me, 13 thank yous, honey in the heart, no evil, and live long and prosper.
Indeed. Peace and long life.
Until we meet again.
Satnam Namaste.
Aloha, everyone. See you tomorrow.